Morning.
As always, it's great to worship with you this morning. Thanks for braving the rain. Today is going to be, I think, a great day of worship. I've been excited about today all week. We've been going through the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. We've been going through it for several weeks now. It's two verses that I've challenged the church to adopt to give us a vision for what the church has to be about this year. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This understanding that God is able to do is the basis of this, that we don't have a God that winds us up like a watch and just allows us to go, but a God that is active and that does things, and that He does immeasurably more than all we can ask Him or even comprehend or imagine. And our God desires, I believe, to do so much more through us than what we pray for. I think a lot of times it's our tendency to make God a whole lot smaller than He actually is. That's for us as individuals and for us as a church. So today I want to hear from you. I want the body to be able to share testimonies about how God has done immeasurably more in and through you and in and through this church. So this morning we're going to share. I want to hear from people that have seen this verse work out in their own life. And we're going to end our next series the same way with testimonies. But this morning I want to spend some time reflecting on what God has done in and through you and through this church. And I get to start. I do ask, I know it's intimidating, to come up here and to speak in this mic right here, because I know some people have difficulties hearing without it being amplified, so you might think that there's not enough people in here to need a microphone, but I just ask for everybody needs to hear your story if you'll come up here and use this mic. I want to tell you a story of how our preschool got started. I told you last week I'd be sharing this story. I remember walking through the doors downstairs my first Sunday that I was pastor here. First of all, I was terrified. I was thinking, what in the world were y'all thinking? It was about 5:30 in the morning, and now it was not Kim's responsibility, but my responsibility to make sure the rooms were cooled, that everything was ready to go. And I made it a habit to go into every room downstairs and pray for the kids that were going to be coming. Again, like I said, it was 5:30 in the morning, and I got into the nursery my first Sunday morning, and I prayed for the kids that were going to be there that Sunday. And I remember walking by several of our rooms down there, and we weren't using them for much of anything other than storage. And I prayed for God to fill those rooms with kids that would hear His gospel. That was my prayer, first Sunday here, as pastor. God, fill these rooms with kids that get to come here and hear Your gospel. And my prayer was honestly in my mind for Sunday mornings. God, bring kids on Sunday mornings to come and hear Your good news of what Your Son has done. And then I thought, you know what, maybe that's too small. We have this much space and it sits all week. Maybe we could have a one day a week Mother's Day Out program where we can have kids come for a Mother's Day Out program to have that get started. Maybe like once, possibly twice a week. And then I started looking into what that would take and the insurance and the facility would have to be, and I just thought, you know what, this is just too much, and I let it go. Prayed about it, but I felt uneasy going forward. Fast forward to March this year, 2 years after this. I'd found out that a preschool that was meeting in a church very close to here unexpectedly, the preschool had their lease expired. And they had seven staff members and several parents and kids expecting to start school in August, all of a sudden there was no jobs, there was no preschool for them. And I felt awful for them. Parents thought they had a place locked down for their kids to go. Teachers thought they had a place to teach. So I started praying and I asked God, God, is this an open door? God, is this an open door for us to use our facilities to bring you glory? I talked to my wife about it and she thought that that was a possibility to have them come to our church. She told me to call and find out. And so I called and I asked her, I said, you know, we've got a facility. It's probably not what you need, but more than welcome to come and to look at it. I figured I would scare her off as soon as she came here and saw all the storage rooms. Corinne is the director, and she and her lead teacher met me here. And she came to the church, she looked at our education building, and she teared up. And I thought, oh no, she's thinking I'm wasting her time. She's thinking these rooms are, there's no way that this is going to work. Honestly, that's what I thought. But she was crying because of the possibilities. She and her lead teacher spent several hours here that day and a lot of hours on the phone calling their teachers and measuring rooms and just imagining how this could work out for them. And I was very impressed by their heart and by their attitude. And after a lot of hard work from her team and our church family, if I forget your name, I apologize, but Miles and Rex and Kim and Vic and Eddie and Forrest, Rebecca Graham, Mike Levy, Kurt, Marianne, Joe Cadwell, Randy, Sarah Cadwell, Jennifer Johnson, Steve Hassel, several people in our church came and put lots of sweat in that building. And Wayne, yes, Wayne was on his hands and knees on the floor with me. God used people's gifts and talents to have this amazing preschool where kids are coming to literally hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's some pictures that we put together. This is the name of the preschool. Go ahead and start. This is a before picture of a room. And this is the after. And so a lot of people spend a lot of time. There's one of the storage rooms. Those look like kids' handprints, but I think we're adults maybe. This is where Porter goes to preschool now. The bathrooms were one of the biggest changes. Those floors, I can't tell you the stains of yellow that were on them. The other person that has been so helpful in all this is Mish, to be able to work with a preschool to share her space and the way that she has those rooms. She has been so patient and flexible and understanding the vision of having kids that would never come into church, period. So many of these kids are from unchurched families come and learn how to count and how to understand colors through the gospel. It's so exciting. My prayer was, God, fill this place up Sunday mornings. And he's filling it up with around 40 kids, 3 days a week, coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine according to His power that's at work within us. And I'm not bragging on the church, I'm bragging on God, because the next verse says, to Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. So this is just a small example of how when we pray for something very small and God says, check this out, and just blows our mind away. It happens time and time again. And as I'm asking you to come up and to share, I know most people's hesitancy is to be humble, because how easy is it to brag about God working through you? That's not easy for us. But we have to give Him glory. And that is what we're going to do this morning. So if you feel led to share, if you feel uncomfortable, good. We are learning to be uncomfortable as a church. We're learning that when we are uncomfortable, normally God is pushing us in the direction that we need to be going. But how has God done immeasurably more in and through you in this church? Who would like to share? And remember, please come up here, as intimidating as it is. Come on up, Rex.
Okay. When we were talking about this, first of all, I'd like to compliment Scott. He's asking tough questions. This whole series has been a series of, and he ends the sermon with a question. And I don't know about you, but I've been taking those questions and going home and thinking about them, pondering on them, trying to answer them. And so I appreciate that. The idea that we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school was that when we shut the door at noon, church still goes with us. And by Him challenging us and Him asking the right questions and getting us to think, we take this, what we learn here and what we do here, past noon on Sunday. And so I appreciate that. When He asked the question, how has God worked for you in this church, the first thing that came to my mind was the merger. And when you think about in the idea of two separate bodies of believers coming together and forming a new church, only God could pull that off. And if we tried to do that on our own, as men, as humans, I think we probably would have killed each other. But I was amazed at that process, and to me, that's how God. That's one of the biggest things I've seen God do, is at that time He took two separate bodies and He brought us together. And if you think about it, I remember we were meeting almost every week in the evenings, and we would talk about what next thing, how are we going to make this work? How are we going to blend these two churches and get them to work? And there would be things that pop up and we'd, I don't know. This is going to get tricky, you know, because we want to respect each side, each traditions and history of each side. How are we going to make that work without offending anybody? How are you going to make that work? And a lot of prayer. But I was always amazed that we would come and we would expect we were going to butt heads over things, and it would just dissolve. It was like, oh, and somebody would say, well, we're going to do this and this, and we'd all go, okay. And you just see God working out all those little technical difficulties. And I remember one of the guys on the team that we're doing this, he goes, I'm going to help build a church. I'm going to help make a church that I'm probably not a part of. And he's true. He's not here. He's not a member of our church. But he saw the vision. He saw the glory of bringing this together and how God was going to work. And so to me, that's kind of where this whole thing kicked off, is the fact that we were able to come together, where you hear a lot of churches split, a lot of churches can't get along. He actually brought two bodies of believers together and made it work. And the neat thing is, we also knew that eventually this would become its entirely brand new church. It will no longer be Marshall Ford, or no longer be Fellowship. It will be a brand new body of people. And if you look around, there are still remnants of both sides, but there's just as many new faces who have no connection to either one of those churches here now. And to me, I think that's just the beauty of how God's working. He's brought us together in all of our differences and challenges, and he's bringing new people to make this a working, viable church. So that's my story.
Would you believe that Rex and I didn't plan this? I want to kind of pick up where Rex left off. In our meeting the other day when Scott was talking about soliciting from the body the testimonies of individuals and people, I sat there very quietly trying to hide among the other men at the table. And suddenly it came into me that there's a testimony to be given that's not necessarily mine. I won't claim it as my testimony, though it is my testimony. But it is also, I think, the body's testimony, more importantly. When we merged, we really formed an opportunity for a new church. But as I sat there the other day thinking about what was going on, it occurred to me that there were things done years before we got together to merge the church that are coming to fruition today. So some of those events occurred more than 20 years ago. There are members of the Marshall Floyd Baptist Church who years ago, with great faith, put up some money and purchased this land across the street. There's some other land that was owned as well by Marshall Floyd Baptist. Fellowship of Lake Travis had been gifted a parcel of land in Lakeway, which it was a pretty valuable piece of property. However, we don't own those properties. Those properties are not available to us. And I know that for many people who had the visions that we would use those properties in some way, where today we could look at and say, that's the fruits. God had other plans. And as we, over the years, began thinking about what we could do with what we had, it became clear that the properties that we owned were not properties we could build on, because of the coding that had changed over the years would raise the cost to such a level that we could not afford property. Particularly one across the street here, because there had been hopes that there'd be a church there today. Right, Martha? They raise up a nice big church, much larger than this, and use this as part of the property. But the coding of the county and the city prohibited it, because to just prepare the property was more than we could afford today before we could even build. So those properties have been discharged through sales over the years. And today what we find is that investing in this property and upgrading it, we have attempted to maintain the vision of this, of the people who first formed this church years ago. So when we say God can do immeasurably more, we oftentimes don't know, rarely do we know, what that means. Because when God takes action, it oftentimes, at least in my experience, is not what I was asking for or what I was expecting. It's something entirely different. But he does immeasurably more. And so today we have here a body of people who have the faith and the will and the participation in such a way as to today have a church that is looks like it was did 50 to 75 years ago, but is a new church inside and in some cases outside. And in that church, we have people who are participating in ways that large churches may not have the opportunity to enjoy. We have a higher percentage of people involved in mission and ministry in and around the area as a body than many large churches do. So God, when I was thinking about testimony, I think this church has a testimony, has a body. And that is that we seek out God's will, we listen to God's words, and we act to deliver what God has asked us to deliver, though it is not what we had envisioned or thought of before. So I know that I'm taking a risk here of speaking on your behalf, but it just occurred to me as we were sitting there talking the other day that this is a testimony I think that is worthy to share among ourselves, that we as a body of people are listening to and acting on God's words to us and not our words. For me, that just strengthens my faith to turn to God and seek His guidance, seek His wisdom, seek His protection, seek His sense of peace that He can bestow upon us, and continue to open ourselves to listening to and acting on what we hear from God. And so while it's my testimony, I really believe it's our testimony as a body. Thank
you. Who else would like to share about how God has done immeasurably more in and through you in this church? Carolyn, come on. Carolyn's a much better talker than Forrest, so. Immeasurably more.
Well, Scott asked me to talk about the crisis ministries today, and that's thing that's been part of our lives for 30 years. 30 years ago, we were in a small church out in this area, and Forrest noticed that there were several single moms in our church that were struggling to make ends meet. So he decided we needed to open a food pantry there. So he went about the business of applying at the Capillary Food Bank to see if we could get food there, and we were accepted, so we started a little food bank. Well, people found out we were giving away food, so we decided to open it up to the public on Wednesday nights. And our first one was Thanksgiving, so we bought a bunch of turkeys and said we were giving away turkeys. Well, people find out you're giving away food, they come. So our little church folded after 2 years, and we prayed and said, God, what do you want to do with this ministry? And we said, if you want it to continue, you just have to supply. And the place where we were renting, they let us stay there rent-free for a year. And checks started coming in from the community. We didn't know how they knew about us, but God knew. So it just amazes us how God can take one little idea and turn it into a community-wide ministry. So as Mike was saying, God knows ahead what He wants to do with something. We didn't know, but God knew. So the money kept coming in from the community. So we started not only giving away food, but we started offering benevolent help to those in need. So it became a true ministry, and our ministry is God's Jesus' command. It's just so simple. Love your neighbor with help and encouragement. So that's what we tend to do, love our neighbor. So we have neighbors coming from just the Lake Travis area. We renamed ourselves the Lake Travis Crisis Ministries because we wanted to help people in a crisis. And we have people who have ongoing crises, and then some first-time crisis people, people from Lakeway, people who have lost homes or lost jobs and needed help. So we never know who's going to come in to help us, to need help. So we're just there for anybody who has a need. But the greatest thing is we decided right from the beginning that we wanted to be a ministry, but we're not going to do any fundraising. If God, as long as God wanted us to be there, He would supply. And we have been totally amazed how God has immeasurably and abundantly supplied that ministry with not only money, resources, and volunteers. I didn't realize how many volunteers we had that helped every week, but I started counting them this morning, and I think we had 35 or 40 volunteers that help on the 2 days that we're open. I thought, my goodness. And I want you to know that this is God's ministry, because we don't do any scheduling. People just show up. The only thing that is scheduled are the drivers that go to the food bank, because we have to have somebody go pick up food every week. So one volunteer schedules the drivers. But other than that, people just show up week after week after week, year after year, to help. So the ministry not only helps those in need, but it has provided a place for volunteers to come who want to help, who want to be a part of God's work somehow. And I just want to tell you a couple instances of how God has amazingly worked. And we always say that when a need arises, when needs arise, God supplies. One day there was this couple that came in and they were homeless. They were living out of their car. And housing out here is just the biggest problem. But somebody came walking across the parking lot with a tent. They wanted to know if we could give away this tent. He said, oh my goodness, here's some people that are homeless. So they took the tent, and we found an RV park where they could put this tent for a month or so. So it's like, God is so good. There was a need, and God supplied a need. And I told Scott last week, our shelves were getting low. Sometimes the food bank has a lot of food, sometimes they don't, and then we have to go to HEB and buy food. Our shelves were getting low, and we were there on Thursday morning, and this truck drives up in our driveway, and these three young men come out and say, we have a bunch of groceries for you. Their church, I think it was, I can't remember the name, one of the mega churches around here, decided to do a food drive for us and another food bank in Dripping Springs. And they brought in about 200 bags of groceries. And we're going, wow, God. I mean, I think God loves our wow, because we've been amazed for 30 years. So it was our opportunity to tell the volunteers, see how God works. When things are running out, here it comes in his abundance. He supplies immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. So it's been that way for 30 years. And this month we had... I mean, checks will walk. It just walks in the door. Somebody gave us a check for $10,000. It's like, wow, Lord. I think God knows when we're going to have needs, and he just brings it into us, and he gets all the glory. We pray before we start every Wednesday night. We stand around the table, and the volunteers all pray, Lord, give us wisdom. We're studying wisdom in Proverbs with Rex on Sunday mornings. Give us wisdom and discernment how to help people. And then we have a little devotional before we start. So we're trying to spread the gospel too and tell of God's love. And we give away Bibles, and we can pray with people as we talk to them. Because we don't accept any government funding, because we don't want the government telling us what to do. We want to do what God wants us to do. So God is amazing. And if God calls you to do some little something, don't hesitate to do it, because you don't know what he has down the line. You don't know how you can make a difference in somebody else's life by just an act of kindness or something. So just when God speaks to you, go ahead and do it. Opening a little food pantry for some single moms has turned into a community-wide ministry, and it's all to the glory of God. We say we are just his hands and feet. And we stand amazed. I mean, for 30 years, it's like, wow, God, we have just watched you supply. And we give away a lot of money each month, paying people's bills. We had a lady come in last week, and first time she has ever had to ask for help. She's a single mom, and she lost her job. She didn't know how she was going to pay all of her rent. She had part of it. And we said, we can pay it for you. She started crying. She said, I prayed this morning that God would help me, show me how to pay my rent. So we prayed with her and that God's going to find just the right job for her. And she went out with a smile on her face. God had answered her prayer through people like you, other churches. We have all the churches in the area help fund us. The thrift shop. Martha works at the thrift shop. So we all partner together to work together. And the thrift shop helps us with a lot. So it's just amazing. We have people that need dental help, and we have a dentist that gives us half price or a third of the price, and we pay for it. The Vision Place, Alicia helps us a lot. We send a lot of people, and her Dr. Stelic gives us a super low rate on glasses for people. So it's like people partnering with each other to help the needy. So as Jesus said, the poor are going to be with you always. But reach out, do what you can, and God will bless it immensely, because he can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So I just thank you that God has used us for 30 years and all the volunteers that come to minister to this community. Well, we give away $10,000 to $15,000 a month.
So, Forrest, this started 30 years ago. Did you imagine you would be part of a ministry now that gives away $10,000 to $15,000 a month to people in need?
We were planning on the church staying. We were planning on the food bank staying with the church.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. I had a bigger plan for it.
Yeah. And I have run across several people in my ministry that has been completely touched by that ministry, from a guy 30 years ago that wanted to help single mothers. And now it has spread to touch more people than you guys can imagine. Several people in our youth group. I'll call Carolyn and say, somebody's in help. She's like, I know who they are. And it's amazing to see the church work together. And they're supported by so many churches and godly men and women that care about people in need. So it's really cool to see how Forrest 30 years ago prayed for single mothers, and God has done immeasurably more than you could have prayed for or imagined. Yeah. Some of us do have to talk, right? Somebody else? Anybody else would like to give a testimony of how God has done immeasurably more than all you could have asked or imagined, either in and through you or through this church? Come on up. Sam, it's good to have you here this morning.
And what Carolyn said, I just want to make a testimonial to the fact that they helped me a whole lot. And this church and Scott and Rex and everybody has helped me a whole lot. I used to be full of negative emotions about interactions with people. Maybe I didn't know if I was on the right side of the Lord in a lot of things. And a lot of thoughts that I had were, I didn't know where they were coming from. And I was pretty much lost about things. But I want to thank Forrest and Carolyn and Crisis Ministries and Partners in Hope, Matthew and those folks, and Scott, and everybody is just, I believe I'm on a different a wavelength now. I believe I'm on a different path. Whereas before I was, I couldn't really testify to anything good I was thinking, you know. And now I'm just seeing the good in everything. And it's a whole different way of looking at things. And I want to thank all of y'all for helping me get there. And I'm not there yet, wherever there is, but I'm on the way. And so I appreciate each and every one of you and everything that y'all have done for me and to get there, and for and especially for God leading me there, because I didn't know if I'd ever get there, wherever there is. And so I'm glad I'm at least now on the right kind of path. And I see direction there, whereas, and what Scott was talking about, however I could be of service to the Lord, that's what I want to do. And that's whatever I am, whatever talents or skills I might have, that's where I want to direct them, rather than, you know, the negative, getting caught up in the negative emotions, into the fear, the anger, or the resentments. And I want to be able to let all that go. And not just forgive a certain amount of people who have done me wrong or trespassed against me, but forgive everybody that has ever even thought about doing it. And give myself to God and to Christ in that way. And I want to thank y'all for letting me do that.
I feel like we got one or two more that want to share. Does anybody else want to give a testimony? Testimonies are so important for the church, whether you're comfortable doing them or not. Here we go.
I absolutely hate standing up here. This is your job, not mine. So 9 years ago, I went through a pretty nasty divorce, and I ended up having three kids, raising by myself. And it was a real hard, dark time for me. I felt like I wasn't going to be accepted anywhere by anyone until I met Alicia. Alicia told me when we first met, I don't care where our relationship goes, you're not tearing me away from going to church and praising my Lord. And I went, okay, no problem. I had a bad taste in my mouth with church at that point. The last church I went to was during youth group, and they very cliquish. I've had this talk with you. I've had this talk with Rex and a couple other people, and they were, you know, if your family didn't make a certain amount of money, you didn't belong here type of establishment. But I had decided to come here with Alicia, and she bribed me to come here with coffee at first, I'll admit it. It was great. But you guys have showed me nothing but love, and y'all have completely changed my mindset on Christians and people in general over the last, I don't know, what, 5, 6, 7 years I've been coming here. So, thank you.
Yes, so Sabrina touched on it, so I just wanted to tell y'all, for you who don't know, but also for those who do know, to share how big of an impact you made with Nicholas. So Sabrina's younger brother, much younger brother, who's 16 now, about 38 months ago, he lost his dad in Dallas. And so we opened up our house, and he moved in with us to start 8th grade. And so we brought him into the church 3 years ago. And I don't believe he'd gone to church probably ever before that. And you all have really opened up your emotions and your time and your allocation of support for him, especially Boone, especially Scott. Literally, sometimes all hours of the day and night to help support him through his transition over the last 3 years. And he's struggled, but he's also succeeded. And so I think that he's seen the love and support from not just you all, but also the church and what the Lord's doing in you and what's possible for him. And so we've tried to be an advocate to the Lord of really turning your struggles into your strengths and also your adversity into your accomplishments. And so, for those of you who don't know, he was accepted into the Texas Challenge Academy that's run by the National Guard. And it's about 3 hours away from here. It's a 5-month program, and he's about 2 months through that program. And as Sabrina mentioned, he's leveled up to a team leader, which is a really, really big accomplishment for him. I think he's very proud of. So we don't get to see him throughout the program until Thanksgiving. He'll come back for about 5 days. But Sabrina's mom does get to accept a call every Sunday from 11 to 11:30, in between that time for about 5 to 10 minutes, if he does well that week. So that's an enticement lead. I wanted to say we're very appreciative of everything the church has done, what the Lord's done through the church, but also through all of you. So thank you for that. It means a lot.
Last chance. Come on, come on.
I'll be real quick. So we've heard from a bunch of different people about, you know, the preschool and the crisis ministry and the things that God can build. And I could talk about how God has built the youth group and stuff. But what I wanted to touch on and what I wanted to talk about is how God can change you, change me. A couple years ago, before I started doing the youth group stuff, I always played music. I was a part of the praise and worship team, and that was my thing. That was my niche. You know, that's how I could support the church. Didn't have a lot of money. I couldn't, you know, give a big offering, but I could show up every Sunday and I could play music, and that was my thing. And then one day I was like, you know, I want to, like, volunteer with the youth group. It just seems right. At the time, I didn't even like kids. Still today, sometimes I just still don't like kids. But, guys, if you don't have to put together, like, now I have to put together a lesson every week to teach these kids something new, right? And to keep their attention. And so, like, I'm diving more and more into the Word, you know, deeper reading on, you know, it's not just like a morning devotional kind of deal. It's like I have to do research and make sure that I'm getting it right. You know, I didn't go to seminary, so I don't want to give these kids the wrong message. I don't want to send them, I don't want to be, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing. I want to give them something that's not true. What I give them, I want to make sure that it's true, that it's something that is God-bred, right? I want to make sure that it's what the Holy Spirit wants me to give them. So I'm diving more and more into the Word myself, and it's changed my life. It has changed the way I see things, the way I do things. I can public speak now. 2 years ago, I was standing in the back. Like, I still do, but I don't have to. I didn't know I could public speak before. And now I'm doing trainings at work, and I'm teaching youth kids. This last week, we get together once a month, some of you guys know this, with a bunch of other youth groups and churches. This last week, I did the lesson. It was like 50 or 60 kids there and a bunch of other churches represented, and I was up on stage talking just like I am now. 2 years ago, I didn't know I could do that. So it was definitely immeasurably more than I ever thought I could be myself. So God's doing amazing things in our community and stuff. But as soon as you say, yeah, okay, God, I'll give it a shot, watch out, hold on, because you can become something that you never thought you would be. And most of the time I still have no idea what I'm doing when I'm working with these kids. But it works out. So.
Come on up. You can say that if you want.
That was such a sweet voice. How do you say no to that?
Church, we're always there working.
going to all be growing down. I want you to know I love y'all. I love this church. Pray that God continues to do immeasurably more through this church. I don't think that's a selfish prayer. I pray that God continues to strengthen you and give you power, that when you are in this place that we can worship Him together, we can have fellowship together, but more importantly, we can encourage each other to go out these doors and to use the power of God through the people that He puts in front of us. Whether you're helping single mothers, it turns into the crisis ministry, or you're doing youth group. I remember the first couple of weeks, Boone was so nervous he'd come and ask about his lesson and if it was okay to be teaching that. I was thinking, I'm going to steal this and put it in my sermon. It's really good. I've seen God use several of you that didn't speak, because speaking is not your thing, far more than I would have ever thought that He would have. God is good, and we're going to start having more testimonies like this. I think one of the advantages of our size, and we hang our hat on being a church that family is kind of the center, is to be able to have times to do this, to give God the glory for what He is doing and has done. With that being said, I think that the Lord's Supper this morning is going to be a special time, special family time. So for the men that is coming to help serve, if y'all will come forward. So thankful that you are not a God that just is off in the distance, checking in every once in a while. But God, you are here this morning. You're here in each and every one of us. God, we thank you that you give us your power to do your work. Lord, you give us each gifts and talents to go out and to be the gospel to a people that need it desperately. And God, the only reason we're able to do this is because of what your Son did on the cross. And so, Lord, as we read about it, as we partake in the Lord's Supper together as a family, God, I pray that you constantly remind us of the sacrifice that Christ paid for us, not just to forgive us of our sins, Lord, but so that we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to people that need it. It's your name I pray. Amen. Matthew 26:26 says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Is this? For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Mike, will you bless the body?
Heavenly Father, we receive these blessings with gratefulness in our heart, knowing that you have sacrificed your body so that we may join you once again as we partake in this taking of the bread, dear Lord. We're reminded of the sacrifice that you made for us in Christ's name.
And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sin." Scripture goes on to say, in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Forrest, will you bless the blood?
Father God, we just thank you that we can come here and worship you. And let us not forget that what we take of this cup today is the blood that you shed on it.
We are many parts, we are all one body. Just as bread is made up of many grains and juice is made up of many grapes, the other one. Will you please stand and let's join hands across the aisle and sing together the last two verses.
I will sing.
short will be, and through eternity I'll sing on, I'll sing on.